You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
Social media has always been extremely influential, but it seems that this year the role of social media and how we consume media and understand the world around us has exploded. We're more aware than ever of the role that sites like Facebook and Twitter play in spreading information about politics, both domestically and abroad, as well as the circulation of misinformation, fear-mongering, and conspiracy theorizing. There's no better local example of this than Billy Tikahika Jr., the previous co-leader of Advance NZ, who has famously, or rather infamously, spouted misinformation about everything from 5G to fluoride and, of course, COVID-19. And while, thankfully, Billy TK Jr. has faded from the spotlight following his party's massive defeat during the election, it has prompted a lot of questions about just what social media lets people get away with. Facebook has been controversial for some time, though it seems to be reaching a peak with multiple cross-examinations in the United States Senate, as well as the Solomon Islands electing to ban the site outright yesterday. Let's elaborate a bit on this ban in the Solomon Islands, because I think it's quite interesting. Communications Minister Peter Chanel Aguvaca announced yesterday that the Solomon Islands cabinet had agreed to implement a ban on Facebook, citing public misuse as the main concern. Aguvaca specifically pointed towards abusive language against politicians. That ban is supposed to be temporary as the government works towards implementing regulations on the internet within the country. But it's an interesting look at how many governing bodies have come to recognize Facebook as harmful. Other Pacific countries have considered banning or otherwise temporarily banned Facebook in recent years, such as Samoa and Papua New Guinea. When the Samoan government was considering a Facebook ban earlier this year, they cited similar concerns about defamation and misinformation in regards to politics. So why Facebook specifically? What is it about this platform in particular that has led to it being so misused around the world? Facebook has largely been quite generous when it comes to their content policies. They tend to provide a lot of leeway in regards to what people can get away with. Earlier this year, they caught a lot of flack for deciding to allow a post by Donald Trump that encouraged violence against protesters. That same post was also posted on Twitter, where it was hidden behind a warning. The decision by Mark Zuckerberg to leave the post untouched was so controversial that it prompted a walkout among a number of staff, including some senior staff members. This all follows on from a string of bad press over the last 2 years related to the Cambridge Analytica scandal, in which the personal data of millions of users was used for political advertising during the 2016 election, enabled by a loophole in Facebook's privacy policy. Since then, Zuckerberg has appeared in the United States Senate several times, most notably before Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who grilled him about Facebook's inconsistent rules about political misinformation.
Can you repeat that?
Would I be able to run advertisements on Facebook targeting Republicans in primaries saying that they voted for the Green New Deal? I mean, if you're not fact-checking political advertisements, I'm just trying to understand the bounds here. What's fair game?
Congresswoman, I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. I think
so you don't know if I'll be able to do that?
I think probably.
Do you see a potential problem here with a complete lack of fact-checking on political advertisements?
Well, Congresswoman, I think lying is bad, and I think if you were to run an ad that had a lie, that would be bad. That's different from it being, in our position, the right thing to do to prevent your constituents or people in an election from seeing that you had lied.
So you won't take down lies, or you will take down lies? I think this is just a pretty simple yes or no.
Congresswoman,
I'm not talking about spin. I'm talking about actual disinformation.
Yes, in most cases, in a democracy, okay. I believe that people should be able to see for themselves what politicians that they may or may not vote for
are
saying.
So you won't take them down.
Judge their character for themselves.
So you won't take. You may flag that it's wrong, but you won't take it down.
Congresswoman, it depends on the context that it shows up.
Zuckerberg's defense is possibly the only consistent thing about Facebook's misinformation policy. He maintains that these posts should be kept up to allow individuals to make their own decision as to their content, but has thus far refused to acknowledge the harm that this misinformation can cause. With that being said, this plague of misinformation is very much present on other platforms too. Over recent weeks, Twitter has been faced with a number of decisions as to what to do about Donald Trump's tweets. Trump has repeatedly tweeted that he won the election, contrary to all official reports. Rather than delete these tweets outright, Twitter has attached a number of warnings to his tweets to indicate that the information is false. This is further complicated by conspiracy theories that suggest Twitter and other social media platforms are engaged in a plot to silence conservative voices, a claim that is verifiably false due to the fact that the people complaining about it are usually doing so on the very platforms that they claim to be censored by. Even still, the conflict between Trump's voice as a Twitter user and the voice of Twitter as a corporation is an interesting one to look at. Readers are essentially being offered two different sources at once, and they have to choose which one to trust. Diehard Trump supporters who believe that Twitter is engaged in this plot may then choose to trust Trump's words over Twitter's, and this is where it gets complicated. Warnings only go so far if the people receiving the warnings don't trust the people giving the warning, and several social media platforms have become trapped in the circle of mistrust. This is why some countries have considered banning the platforms outright, rather than trying to address and regulate the litany of issues they present in regards to information. Both Facebook and Twitter have appeared before the US Senate twice in the past 3 weeks, both times in regard to Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Section 230 protects these companies from liability in regards to what their users post, but still gives them control over how their website disseminates this information. That law has been controversial, but the CEOs of Google, Facebook, and Twitter insist that it's a necessary balance between freedom of speech and moderation. Section 230 has been widely criticized by both Republicans and Democrats, with both Donald Trump and Joe Biden suggesting that the permissions enabled by Section 230 be revoked. The companies have denied that their platforms have political influence, a claim that's been widely refuted by the politicians conducting the hearings. Facebook and Twitter were both criticized by Republican senators for their handling of a controversial tabloid article about Biden's son. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey stated that the decision to block links to the article was, quote, wrong, while Zuckerberg avoided direct comment. The CEOs were also asked about how they handle Trump's misleading claims about electoral fraud. Dorsey defended the decision to label tweets rather than remove them, with a similar defense to Zuckerberg's old reliable, saying that providing context was adequate and that people could make their own decisions. These hearings are likely to continue in coming months, signifying the frustration that politicians on both sides of the political divide are feeling in regards to how these companies contribute to information and politics. We can expect the coming years to signal large-scale changes to how these platforms operate as we start to figure out this weird informational Wild West we're in at the moment. Until things do change, though, it's probably a good idea to take the information you see on social media with a grain of salt. In fact, it's probably a good idea to keep doing that anyway, regardless of what happens.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.